We'll have a business meeting, as has been announced, and go over some exciting things that I think you'll be enjoyed about. And so we are glad you're here. And I was thinking, let's see here, a week or two back, because my first Sunday, I think we had 236. Tonight, it looks like we have about 80. And so if we're putting that in the sword of the Lord, it's probably not a great track record. Based on that, if we reduce by two-thirds every 2 weeks, then we'll be down to nothing before long. So you help us out, and we'll see the Lord do something special. Genesis chapter 22, as we look in this, this is just an illustration passage. We'll get into the Bible passage of where the lesson will be from here in just a moment. But Genesis 22, we're going to find Abraham as he offers Isaac. It came to pass, Genesis 22:1, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story because you can turn your Bibles if you want to Hebrews, and that's where we actually find our lesson at tonight. But I wanted to give you there because just to give you that illustration to begin with, the Bible illustration of Abraham being told to take Isaac up on the altar or up on the mountain and offer him on the altar. We know the story so well. And here it is, one of the toughest things undoubtedly that Abraham ever had to do. And it brings him, though, closer to the Lord. I contrast that with the places where Satan has tried to put things into our lives that would take us further away from God. Suffering as a double-sided coin, you've got one side, it can bring you so close to the Lord when you're going through difficulties and trials and troubles, but that same difficulty could make somebody else just turn from the Lord and go far away from Him. Suffering is a very interesting subject to look into in the Word of God. The Bible says in James 1, verse number 13 or 14, let no man say when he's tempted that I'm tempted of God. And you contrast that with Abraham, who says he was tempted of God. And we understand the Scripture never contradicts itself, but those things mean that God allows somebody to be tested. But mark it down, whenever you hear somebody say, you don't have to correct everybody, but whenever you hear somebody say, well, the Lord's really put me through it, well, you be careful when we say those things that God's put this in here, and or you get to the point where I say, well, God, these bad things happened, and God was trying to do this, this, and this in my life. Remember, God never tempts anyone with evil. He's not tempted with evil. He doesn't tempt us with evil. He certainly takes a lot of our bad choices and a lot of our bad decisions and turns them around for His glory after it's done. But let no man say when I'm tempted, he is tempted of God. So I'm looking tonight at the response of suffering. Last week, we looked at the different kinds of suffering that people go through, mental and physical and spiritual suffering. But I'm looking now at the response of suffering, because here in this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look and see what the Scripture says about how we respond to suffering in our lives. Everybody is going to suffer. Now, a lot of the times, it's suffering for our own dumb mistakes. Sometimes it's suffering just because the Lord allows it. It does rain on the just and the unjust. I was talking with a friend in Ohio on the phone the day before yesterday, and their wedding is getting postponed because of all the things that are going on, and they're not issuing marriage license in that county just to try to control traveling and all of these things. And I said, listen, don't read too much into those things. It does rain on the just and the unjust. And so we see the differences in suffering, and as you find your place in Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to look at how we respond, because truly you can't control what comes your way. You remember your mom told you that in kindergarten, right? You can't control what somebody does to you. All you can do is control what you do back to them. Hebrews chapter 12, look into it, verse number 5. The Bible says in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For when the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Don't you always think it's funny when your mom and dad say, listen, if I didn't love you so much, I wouldn't do this. There have been times in my life I wish my dad didn't love me quite as much as he obviously did. And that lie or that line that goes, this hurts me more than it hurts you. I think my dad broke that. I think he broke over a couple times and enjoyed it more than he wants to let on. But regardless of whether he did or not, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So again, some of the suffering that we go through is simply, as the old boy put it, we're just sitting on our blister, meaning that we're the reason that we're there. And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You know, the Scripture's very straightforward. It goes on verse number 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are your bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. And what we do to them, eventually, we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that he might be partakers of his holiness. Now, we'll stop there and we'll get into verse 11 down to 13 in just a little bit. But I want you to think about this as we get started, the responses to suffering as things come on our way. Now, for this particular passage right here, it's talking about the suffering that comes because of your own backslidden part or your own issues, your own problems. That means chastisement. God loveth you. If whenever you get in trouble, whenever you get to yourself that you know God's chastening you, it's hard to do, but you ought to thank the Lord that he didn't just leave you be, because that shows that he is your father and you're a child of his. But I see in verse number 5 and 6, here's what we can do when suffering, regardless of whether it's this suffering or just suffering for some other reason, the application is going to be the same, and the specifics of how we respond in this case are the same. Number 1, I see this, you can despise it. The Bible says, as the son, my son, verse number 5, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Again, I don't think it's a misrepresentation of Scripture at all to say that you can apply that to any of the suffering that comes on. Again, this suffering, your fault or my fault. But it happens the same in other ways. We can despise the suffering that comes our way. We can just discount it. We can take it too lightly. We can do a lot of things with it. But remember this, when problems come our way, if there is something that you're paying for, so to speak, remember that chastening is of the Lord. That's who it comes from. Don't get ourselves into a place where we think, oh, well, this is bad. Remember, if something's getting you back in the way that it's supposed to be, that's not bad, that's good. Sometimes I'm convicted. As one old preacher put it, we'll pray 90 prayers to keep grandma out of heaven, and we won't ever pray one prayer to get somebody else into heaven. And sometimes we worry about the problems, the difficulties, the physical ailments, and we ought to pray about everything. The Bible is very clear. But sometimes we're more consumed with us getting into a comfortable spot than we are truly having a working of the Lord. So remember this, don't despise it. The Bible still says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, the one verse that many of us use for a great comfort. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Whether it's chastisement because of something we did, or whether it's just difficulties because God saw fit to allow us to go through it, I'm asking you this evening not to despise it. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Because we see in verse number 6 that it shows the Lord's love. Now, all jokes aside about your dad or my dad or anybody else's dad being too harsh on you when you were a kid growing up, when you come into a group of kids and all of them are doing something bad, which ones do you take care of? Yours. Now, if you're real close to the rest of them, you might give a swat or two just for fun, but usually not. Which ones you take care of? You holler, say, hey, come here. Everybody shares your last name. And you deal with those. Now, you may get on the phone quick as you get home and call the other's parents and tell them, hey, listen, so-and-so is doing this, and my boy was one of them, but whatever. But you say as you're walking home, he's mine, she's mine, that's mine. And so that's the way it is with the Lord. The Lord has to, because he's our Father. And if you get yourself in trouble, I don't know why God's letting all this stuff come my way. I can tell you why God's letting a lot of stuff come your way. He's not letting it come your way. He's sending it. Because we're disobedient. Because we either wouldn't listen to what he said to do, or we didn't listen to what he said not to do. Either way it works. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And so when we find ourselves suffering for the things that we did, the Bible says you ought not to despise it. If you can find it in your heart, you ought to thank God for it because it shows that you're His and it shows His love. Again, this is specifically talking about chastening hand of God, but whatever suffering you or I are going through, can I remind you, as one old evangelist said, remind you that you are going through it. We're not coming to stay, Lester Roloff said, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. And it'll pass one of these days. And so we ought not despise those things as they come. But number two, if you look down in verse, or look at verse number five again, not only should we not despise it, but we also ought to do this. We ought not to faint underneath of it. Meaning that we just go to ourselves, just say, it's done, I'm done, stick a fork in me, it's over, I can't do it anymore. The Bible says at the end of verse number five, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Can I again tell you, there's one interpretation of every passage of Scripture, and this specific interpretation is that when somebody is suffering for the chastisement, or they're getting chastised for what they did, but the application is that whenever something happens to us, don't be the one that faints underneath it. The Word of God still says that He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. When somebody says, I can't take it anymore, well, if that's true, then God won't give you any more. Because He still says, not only He will not suffer you to be tempted above you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. And the Bible is very clear that God will strengthen you with whatever is coming your way. So do not despair and do not give up. Because the Scripture is very clear that we're not supposed to faint underneath that problem that's coming our way, so we're not to faint underneath of it. So these are the responses to suffering, responses to problem. Number one, you can despise it. Oh, I tell you, I can't understand why things are happening to me. Well, number one, as I mentioned, you ought to check out and make sure that it's not happening to you because the Lord's trying to get your attention. But then after that's cleared up, you say, Lord, as far as I know, everything's all right between you and I. After that's discovered, or after that's figured out, rather, then you ought to say, Lord, you can help me get through whatever I'm going through. Listen, folks, He's not going to put more on us than we can bear. Don't despise what's happening our way or what's happening to us. You know, the Scriptures, so many Scriptures come to mind. The Bible says that we sorrow not, talking about when folks were going through that death of a loved one, or we sorrow not as others which have no hope. You and I, all of us, have walked with people through the death of a loved one. And sometimes they're so beside themselves, and you need to come by and remind them that the Lord is with them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Number one, despise it. Number two, faint underneath of it. But then here's the third response that you can have to suffering. Look into verse number 11, if you will. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nobody ever walks out of the time. If you had a dad that read the Scriptures and said, chase your son while there's time, spare not the rod, you know, all those things. You never caught a kid coming out of that session to say, man, that was just joyful. I just love that. It was so wonderful. Dad, could we do it again soon? Well, you probably can, but it's not that you want to. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And then it goes on to say, wherefore, lift up the hands which hanging down, the feeble knees. Basically, stand up straight, go forward, get on for God, and make straight the paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Understand here what it's saying. That when you're realizing that the Lord is doing a work in your life, stand up straight. Let's go forward for Him. Don't be the one that's all moped and just discouraged about things that are happening. The Bible says that we ought to be exercised by it. The Bible says in that verse, number 11, the last phrase, unto them which are exercised, so that just means trained up. You understand that when suffering comes your way, you're in training. Again, whether it was because of your own bad choices or the Lord just allowed it to happen, you're in training. You realize that if you'd gone through today, or if you'd have gone through 10 years ago what you have been going through in the last year, you may very well not have stood it. Because the Lord hadn't had you trained. You know how you train for weights, you train for a marathon, you train for all these things, you take yourself where you are, and you realize if I don't push myself or for over an extended period of time, I won't be able to do this, whatever this is. And so you're exercised thereby, or you're trained therewith. And so the Lord is very wise. Obviously, He knows what we're going to face next year. And knowing that we may not be able to stand that if He doesn't put us through this, and so He allows this to prepare us for that. And so the proper response to suffering is to be exercised by it, to realize that we're partakers of the holiness of God, that we might stand up for righteousness, and we are exercised or trained thereby. So, what can I tell you about suffering? Except it's necessary. Now, nobody's going to be, nobody's going to say, oh, pick me. I'd like to suffer some more. You don't have to. It's coming sometimes for all of us. And let it teach you. Let it strengthen you. Let it be that thing that drives you to be what God wants you to be. How many of you think you're a better spouse than you used to be if you're married? I know you're afraid because somebody might call you on it. Put your hand down. The person who's sitting beside you says, no, you're not. You're no better. You're worse. Well, if you are, that's because you've been in training. You are learning. The Bible tells husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. That means learn something, you big dummy. You know, you ought to know a little bit more than you knew when you got into this thing. And you ought to know what you're supposed to do. Well, you're a better husband. You're a better this. You're a better whatever because of a lot of the bad choices you've made to begin with. You know, they say the way to remember your anniversary is to forget it once. Yeah, you forget it once. It always comes easier after that. And so the same it is when we have the suffering in our lives. The proper response is to keep my eyes on Christ and be worked out by it. Be exercised. I'm never going to get to a place where I say, oh, I just enjoy this. We're just really being hammered right now. It's so enjoyable. Unless you're kind of some kind of sick puppy, you're not going to have that response. But what you can have as a response is, Lord, I'll be happy when this is over. But Lord, I know based on the track record that you're going to help me through every single bit of it. And so as we see this response to the suffering, you ought to be worked out. You can go to Planet Fitness or you can go to Anytime Fitness, go to one of these places, and you say, I want to do this. I want to be able to bench press this. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to, whatever your goals are, you say, okay, I'm going to have to exercise. I'm going to have to work in order to get it. I'm going to be exercised thereby. We get that. How do you think you get to be an old, faithful saint of God that stood for decades for His name? There's no easy way to get there. Wherever you are tonight, you faithfully follow the Lord from now, then do it tomorrow and tomorrow, and you let days turn into weeks and weeks into years and years into decades. As we taught a couples class one time at a church we served at, I told our couples, all of them were young married couples, their children were lower elementary age down to couples with no children. I said, if you want your children, when you're old, to stand in front of the audience and say at your funeral that dad or mom was faithful to Christ, I said, there's no easy way to make that happen, but there's a sure way to make it happen, and that is live for Christ from now till then. But we don't like that very well. But basically what I was telling them is, be exercised by the problems. Because here's the understood. The understood is problems are coming your way. One person's put it like this. Either you're in a battle, you're going out, you're coming out of a battle, or you're getting ready to go in one, you just came out, or you're in one right now. Battles are going to come. That's just part of life. Sometimes there are problems, our fault, sometimes they're not, but they're coming our way. The proper response to suffering is not to despise it, not to faint underneath of it and just be overwhelmed to the point where you just say, I can't go on. But the proper response to suffering is just as the Scripture says, let it make you exercised thereby. If somebody's not right with God and the Lord is trying to get their attention, what's the best thing they can do? I'm sorry, Lord. I hear you. That's the best thing they can do. That's the quickest way from where they are to a good spot in life. Now, do we all do that? Not usually. The Lord has to work us over a little bit before we get to that place, but that's the best way to do it. What's the best way for a 12-year-old kid when he's in trouble with his dad? Best way is for him to go and say, Dad, I'm sorry. Now, there may be some retribution needs to be done. There may be some other things, but that's the quickest way to get it fixed. Dad, I'm sorry. Be exercised. And then know that it won't work out the next time. Let it teach us and let it strengthen us. So the responses to suffering are here, and the choice is up to you. Do you just bristle at it and despise it? I've met some of the most unhappy people who I believe are saved, but they're so unhappy when the Lord chastens them, and they have not got to a place where they'll get their backslidden heart right with the Lord. They despise it. I've met some people who, even to the point of threatening to take their own life, they are just overwhelmed by the suffering. But the biblical response to whether it's, again, chastening or just suffering in general, is to be exercised by it. Realizing that the Lord won't put more on you than you can bear, and you take the load up, say, Lord, I'm willing to go through if you'll go with me. And whatever you're going through this evening, may you let God use it to exercise you. You may not be able to bench press your whatever poundage you want, but you keep working and you keep working and you keep working. You'll get to that place. You and I, we may not be able to be that one that's that 85-year-old, 90-year-old saint of God that says, that people look at him and say, faithful. But you know how we get there? We exercise. We keep on working. Keep on handling the problems that come my way with God's help to get through them and then go on to the next one. Let it exercise me thereby. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that we would have the right response to suffering. And Lord, may we find ourselves when difficulties come, whether they're self-inflicted or whether it's just raining on the just, I pray that we would have the right response to suffering. Bless us, dear Father, I ask, and we'll thank you for all that you do. I'm going to ask the ladies to play something through, and if you would stand together with us as you hear them begin to play. And as they play, and if the Lord spoke to your heart, I invite you to come to the altar tonight. Maybe God's got allowed a heavy burden to come on your heart. Can I just encourage you? Let it exercise you. Let it work those spiritual muscles out. Because it very well could be, if you don't work right in this one, then the problem that's coming next year, you won't be able to handle it. You say, John, I don't want to handle the problem next year. I don't know that there's a choice. The only choice is, do you get ready for it? Or do you get blindsided by it next year? Let it exercise you thereby. The altar is open for you. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here tonight and there's a heavy burden on your heart. You say, Brother Herdman, I'd just like for you to pray for me. Nobody's looking around, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But you say, Brother Herdman, I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand up? And I certainly would pray for you. Thank you. I'll just pray silent or anonymously. Thank you. Yes, yes. Anyone else? Heavy burden, thank you so much. You know and God knows, and now I know that there is something, and I want to pray for those. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Maybe you're here tonight as they continue to play through another verse or so. You're not sure that you're saved. I never like to close a service without asking, because you never know who's here. And maybe it's a church member who's been a member for years but having doubts about your salvation tonight. Maybe you're here, you're not sure you're saved. Would you step out and come? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. Lord, I pray that you would bless us this evening, dear Lord. I pray that you bless us to be a blessing. Lord, it's an exciting time to be alive. There's certainly enough going on that keeps a person from being bored. So I pray that you would bless us tonight, and I pray that we would see your hand upon us. Pray that we would see your hand upon our church. And dear Lord, I pray that when suffering comes and problems and difficulties, I pray we would respond correctly. Two out of the three of those responses were negative. I pray, dear Lord, that we would allow these sufferings to exercise us to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to, just a moment, have our business meeting. But before we do that,